following is a rebroadcast of a pre-recorded episode.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? It's a nice Friday. I hope you're all having a great day. And I am, by God's grace, been really busy, been painting, getting a room ready to make into a video studio, and trying to make my wife happy. That is a full-time job. But she makes me happy. She's a good woman, except for taste in men. Now, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. That's 877-207-CARM. Now, carm.org is my website. Carm, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. I started it in October of 1995, and it is a humongous website. I've been working on it. I love it. You know, just love it. Working on it for 22 years. So if you have questions about, oh, I don't know, apostasy, dialogues, preachers, teachers, objections, answers, Bible contradictions, Bible difficulties, you want to learn about theology, we have online schools, we have sermons, we've got homeschooling information, we've got information on various cults, world religions, secular stuff like evolution, government, homosexuality, and I love this one, the Raelians. We even have stuff on abortion and how to deal with it in an argumentative way. You know, I don't mean argumentative, yelling and screaming, but how to argue with them, how to present good argumentation for stuff. This is what I love to do. And I study really hard about this stuff. For example, I've been studying annihilationism or conditionalism, which is the teaching that the wicked will be annihilated, will not suffer eternal conscious torment. And I've been studying this now for, I don't know, I put in probably 200 hours. I just, you know, it's kind of weird. I just enjoy studying. And it kind of works, you know. So then I get to get the privilege of being able to share the truth and the things I find and stuff out of Scripture with people. But I'm going to tell you something, though. Because I don't have any denominational leanings or any loyalties, any tradition I need to uphold in order to keep right with the powers that be in any particular church or organization, because of that, I'm free to just study. And that's not to say that everything I come up with is always right. No, not at all. I've been doing this for a very long time, and 37 years been studying, and, you know, gone to Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Calvary Chapel, Lutheran stuff. And I've learned to, you know, that I've just learned that God has his people everywhere. And there are some really good teachers out there. And so what I do when I study is I really go into the Greek in the New Testament, and I'll look at interlinears in the Old Testament. And I'll go in and just do word studies and comparisons and things like that, and just compare it with the rest of Scripture. I take a long time to do it, and been doing that for a long time. Anyway, not a big deal. That's what I love to do. So that's why we're here on the radio, and I hope that it's a nice Friday for you and that you want to give me a call, and you can ask me, well, all kinds of stuff. We talk about all kinds of things, and it's a lot of fun. Again, the number, get in line, is 877-207-2276, or that's 877-207-CARM, C-A-R-M. All right, Ryan from Leesburg, Virginia, how are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. How are you today?
By God's grace, doing well. What's up? What do you got?
Okay. Matt, I have like three things. Like, what is Feast of the Law and Law of Moses?
What's the what? The Law of Moses?
The Law of Moses and the Feast of the Law or something like that.
I'm having trouble understanding everything that you're saying. One word can make a big difference in my answer. So,
okay. Law of Moses, what is that?
The Law of Moses is what Moses gave and generically is broken down into three main categories. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament codified. This is what the Jews have counted and broken up into three areas. Judicial had to do with governmental things and punishments and laws. Priestly had to do with the sacrificial system and the moral law. Incidentally, I don't get to say this very often, But when I went to Israel, and we were going to Jericho, and the tour guide was showing us stuff, and I haven't been able to verify it, but he said he did it twice. And he showed us these ancient carvings of pomegranates. He said, look at it. These are pomegranates. Why are there pomegranates carved into some of these Jewish things, these ancient temples and this and that? And I have no idea. And he said that he had heard that the reason was because the pomegranate has 613 seeds in it. Okay. So that's how many laws there are, 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Excuse me. Okay. So he said that he took two pomegranates, cracked them open, and counted every single seed, and each time it was 613. Anyway, just worthless trivia that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
So that's what the law is basically, okay? So the judicial, priestly, moral. The moral law is still in effect for us, okay?
Okay. And one other thing, what is apostolic authority?
Apostolic authority?
What does it mean? Like, yes.
Okay, apostolic authority is the authority that the apostles themselves had by the fact of being called by Christ in order to be an apostle. And so they had the right to say to the church, this is what you should believe, and this is not what you should believe. Now, the apostleship is defended by Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:1, where he says that he is an apostle. He has seen the risen Lord. Now, there are apostles today, or let me just say that there are people who claim to be apostles today. And when I get done with my annihilationism section, I'm going to be starting on a section or continuing on preachers and teachers. And I have over 100 that I got to do. But I was watching some TV over the weekend or a few days ago, whatever, and the apostle so-and-so. And, you know, I'm like, come on. Usually it's these guys, these apostles, are these guys that they have, they're highly charismatic, often they want money, and they're the ones in authority. And so I'm going to be doing some analysis on this. Now, there are seven kinds of apostles, incidentally, in the Bible. The false apostle, Jesus is an apostle. Mm-hmm. An apostle is just someone who's being sent. There's women who are apostles in the sense that they were students. Then there's the apostles that write scripture and things like that. So apostolic authority is the authority of the apostles. Now, the Roman Catholics will say that they have the succession of apostolic authority in their priesthood.
Yes, I have heard that.
Yeah,
yes,
and which is bunk. Yeah, it's false.
Which is wrong, okay.
Yeah, they don't have it because they're a false church. It's if they're so true, why do they teach Antichrist theology? And they do. The Roman Catholic Church is Antichrist in its gospel message. And that's a bold statement, but it's true.
Okay? Okay, thank you, Matt. Take care. Have a good day.
All right, you're welcome. All right, maybe I'll have to defend that statement here a little bit because that's pretty bold, you know, for me to say something like that. But you know what? It's true. The Roman Catholic Church is not a true Christian church. It is an apostate church full of tradition and man-made theology and a false gospel. And maybe I'll do that a little bit, go through some of that. Let's get to John from Grape, Washington. Huh. Is that near the city of Cherry? I don't know. Pretty bad.
No, great view, actually. I think the guy didn't hear me right.
Oh, hey, dude. How you doing, man?
Hey, it's me. Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize you.
Hey, buddy. Yeah. We've had some tanglings before.
Well, that's for sure. Almost got sideswiped on a freeway, but we're okay. It's all by God's grace. That's all right, man.
Yeah. So, hey, Unitarianism. Yeah. I was going to wonder, would you say that people who are, I know they're bad. We can't classify those as saved people.
No.
Correct?
Now, when I talk like this, I like to be a little bit more technical. People need to hear what I'm saying. I believe technically it's possible to be a Unitarian and a Christian only in the sense of someone who's newly saved and very ignorant, who's regenerate but holds to Unitarianism in an ignorance way, but will soon leave it because they're regenerate. Okay, so I believe people could be saved in varying levels of ignorance. But normally speaking, Unitarians cannot be Christians. They cannot. They deny the Trinity. Okay. They deny the deity of Christ. And so they're just, it's a false group.
Okay. Okay. And I was going to say, maybe you should listen. Tell your listeners what they are. I guess define their what Unitarians are. I guess, but yeah, they don't believe in the Trinity.
They don't.
They only believe in just one God.
One person, the God. Yeah. And Jesus is a creation.
Yeah, one person.
Right. Right. So therefore,
right.
It's not Christian. Unitarianism is so false.
I was doing some digging, and I found out that the guy who wrote Thayer's Lexicon,
yes,
was a Unitarian.
Okay. No big deal.
So should we just not,
by now
rely on this guy's teachings or his?
We have to be careful not to commit what's called the genetic fallacy. Just because he's a Unitarian doesn't mean his scholarship isn't valid. And just because someone's a Trinitarian doesn't mean his scholarship is true. So this is what called the genetic fallacy. We got to be careful. So if the Thayer's Lexicon is bad, then the other scholars will have pointed it out by now and said this guy blew it here, blew it there. You could have an atheist who is fantastic at classical Greek, for example, who can shed light on the meanings of words that are even used in Scripture. So should we not regard that as being valid because he's an atheist? No, not at all. We just need to check everything.
Okay.
Okay?
Gotcha. All right.
All right, man.
That's it. That's all I got. So take care.
Okay, buddy. God bless. Bye. All right. That was John. Good guy. I went up to his church, I don't know, a year and a half or so ago and did a little teaching up there. It was kind of interesting because good group of guys. And so they had me get up in the pulpit, do that in a, Saturday or whatever it is. And I'll teach on a few topics. And so we took a break. And they had this, outside the sanctuary, they had this, I don't know what you call it, a foyer, I guess. Kind of a meeting area where people go in, mingle, and to the left is the kitchen, to the right is the sanctuary. And so we had lunch, and we sat there in the foyer. All these tables were set up, and we're eating. And so I just happened to be in the corner, and some guys were sitting next to me. And so one thing led to another. We ended up having, right there, I started answering questions. And for about an hour and a half, just teaching on various things, I said, guys, I can go in there and teach. And they go, no, we're good. Because this topic wasn't on the roster, so to speak. But they just were firing questions, and it was a great impromptu discussion. It was great. And then when I was talking about with John, it got sideswiped. We're on the freeway taking me back to the airport. Oh, man. And this lane's, it was raining really heavily, and this car on the right's moving over, and this car from behind, I saw it before he did, because I heard this noise. I glanced. He was concerned about something else, and this car came up, and we almost got just smashed. We must have missed getting hit by inches. When we get back after the break, I'm going to talk about Catholicism. I'm going to explain why it's so bad. Stay tuned.
Is this the year? That's the question I ask myself as January 1st rolled around. Is this the year I'm going to get serious about following Jesus? Well, this past Christmas, a friend helped me answer that question by giving me our daily bread as a stocking stuffer. Now I'm drawing closer to Jesus each day as I read my Our Daily Bread devotional.
To get Our Daily Bread sent to your home for no cost or obligation, go to getodbtoday.org. That's getodbtoday.org.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind.
I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
It took me a long time to be able to say Chandler has cancer, because that is such a scary word. St. Jude takes care of absolutely everything. And knowing that we don't have to pay for all of the medical expenses, that's huge.
St. Jude allowed me to focus on being a mom to Bryce. And sometimes I'm just in awe of the impact St. Jude has, not only on this community, but the world.
St. Jude is uniquely positioned to advance the cures of pediatric cancer, I think better than any other institution in the world. The contributions make a big difference.
Donors are important to us because you get the feeling that you have a team behind you. We have the resources and we have the focus. And so if St. Jude doesn't do it, who will?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
The following is a rebroadcast of a pre-recorded episode.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Like I said, what I'm going to do is do a little bit of analysis on the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to tell you stuff that it says. Not what I say, but what it says. This is why I can say it is so bad, and it is. And it takes a bit of time to explain things. And I've taught many, many, many hours on Catholicism. And you can find those teachings on the web. But Roman Catholicism is not a Christian church. It is not Christian. What makes us Christian is believing in, well, God makes us Christian. We're born again by his will, not ours. Okay, John 1:13, 1 Peter 1:3. But when we have a true Christian organization, representation of the body of Christ on earth, it can't violate the essentials of the Christian faith, and the Roman Catholic Church does do that. But let me show you some stuff. This is what the Catholic Church says. Now, I'm going to read out of, and I'm going to, when I quote paragraph, that's out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the CCC, Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has the Neolobstadt and the Imprimatur. These are official stamps of approval that what is in there, that document, that book, that writing, is nothing in it contradicts official Roman Catholic theology and is worthy of being taught to Catholics. So, the CCC, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, has the Imprimatur and the Neolobstadt. On paragraph 85 of that catechism, it says, "The task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God, whether in its written form or in the form of tradition, has been entrusted to the living teaching office of the Church alone." Now, it means its own church. Okay. Paragraph 88, "The Church's magisterium exercises the authority it holds from Christ." Paragraph 119, "But I would not believe the gospel had not the authority of the Catholic Church already moved me." I mean, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. Wow. Paragraph 895, "The power which they," Catholic bishops, "exercise personally in the name of Christ is proper, ordinary, and immediate, although its exercise is ultimately controlled by the supreme authority of the Church." How about this one? This is paragraph 1495. "Only priests who have received the faculty of absolving from the authority of the Church can forgive sins in the name of Christ." So the priests have to have the authority that the church itself grants to them. Then they can forgive people of their sins. How about this one? This is paragraph 816. For it is through Christ's Catholic Church alone, which is the universal help toward salvation, that the fullness of the means of salvation can be obtained. Now, folks, this is just one thing I'm reading on authority. Now, obviously, if you know your Bible, you know there's some problems here. Because what the Catholic Church is doing is pointing to itself as the seat of authority, the seat of forgiveness, the place where you have to go in order to get truth and forgiveness and things like that. And it's this kind of stuff upsets me because I know what it does. It leads to damnation. Now, as I read, they are the ones who have the authority to interpret the Word of God. And let's see if I can find that, because I want to bring up a point. Interpret. The task of giving authentic interpretation of the Word of God, this is paragraph 85, is for the Catholic Church. Now, I've asked many Catholics over the years, how many verses in the Bible has the Roman Catholic Church officially interpreted? And the highest number I've ever been told is 11. 11. That's roughly one verse every 200 years. So I did some calculations, and that means that the Roman Catholic Church has not infallibly interpreted 99.98% of the Bible. It has not done it infallibly. And I'm trying to remember the number. I did some calcs. At the rate of one for every 200 years, it would take something like 230,000 years before they get the whole Bible done. Authoritatively at this rate to interpret it. At any rate. Now, I'm going to read out of the Catholic Catechism. I'm going to just jump right into some heresy. I've already got some heresy, but I'm going to read this, and I want you to understand something. The paragraph before and the paragraph after what I'm going to read offers no clarification, no denial of what this actually says. Let me repeat this. The context is not clarified of what is meant. Now, here's what paragraph 460 says. The Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature, for this is why the Word became man. And the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that man, by entering into communion with the Word and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a Son of God. For the Son of God became man, so that we might become God. The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature, so that he, made man, might make men gods. Now, folks, there is nothing before and nothing after that says we don't become gods. Now, what they're doing is quoting church fathers, and they're taking them out of context and putting a bunch of stuff together. Why is it the next paragraph doesn't say we are, of course, not saying we actually become gods, but we're quoting the context of these and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't do that. This last sentence says the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he, made man, might make men gods. Now, folks, isn't that a problem? I have just begun to get into this, and haven't even scratched the surface yet. I could go on for two or three straight hours and just read and comment, and show you stuff. When I have shown people what the Catholic Church actually teaches, their jaws drop. Then they realize it is in no way a Christian church. It's a false apostate organization that appears Christian, claims to be, but is not. It's an apostate organization. Got a lot more I can add. We got callers coming in, so let me just jump in on that. Let's get to Chase from Denver. Chase, how are you? Are you there?
How you doing, Matt?
Doing all right, by God's grace, man. What do you got, buddy?
All right. Sorry to get off topic, but I got a question.
Okay.
In Isaiah 14, chapter 12 in the NIV. What are your thoughts on the NIV? You think it's a good translation, or
it's a good translation? But if you want to do serious study, use the NASB.
Okay.
Now, when I went to seminary,
I don't understand.
Professors were using the NIV. Okay, but they could read Greek and they could interpret things. They could do stuff. But I always recommend, if you want serious Bible study, the NAS, get the NASB, ESV, and the King James, and just compare them. And when you see differences, go find out why there are differences. That's how you learn. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. But it's Isaiah 14, chapter 12, or Isaiah 14, verse 12.
Yep.
It says, "How have you fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to earth. You who once laid low to the nation, or laid."
And you want to know why? You want to know why Revelation 2:28 says Jesus is the morning star when it says star of the morning there. Stay tuned.
Yeah, 22 Revelation.
We'll get to that, okay? Because we've got a break coming up. Stay tuned, buddy. Hold on.
Hi, I'm Janelle Hale, founder and CEO of the National Breast Cancer Foundation. No one should face breast cancer alone. When I was diagnosed 36 years ago, there was no internet, and I had to make a decision with little information. Early detection saved my life. It could save yours too. Learn what every woman needs to know about breast cancer. Visit nbcf.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Scripture says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but it's the questions that follow God's saving that Christians must answer. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And here's the zinger in every question that's been asked. How can they hear without someone telling them? Guess what? God wants to use you to tell them. And whether you feel equipped or not, He can use you. That's the beauty of being Christ's ambassador, because it's not based on what you know or your personality, not even how many Bible verses you know. It's all about your willingness to say, "Lord, here am I. Use me." Just say the word and everything changes. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
If you're like me, you're often waiting for the other shoe to fall. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. A magnificent theological principle underscored again and again in the Scriptures is this: when God seems absent, He's present. When you feel the other shoe is yet to fall, when God seems distant or silent, even when you think you've lost all, God uses it as an opportunity to awaken you to the realization that He really is still in charge, as well as to bring you to your knees. He knows the condition of your soul. He knows your heart. And He knows your circumstances. He's heard you. He's there.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetDix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
The following is a rebroadcast of a pre-recorded episode.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Chase from Denver, how are you?
Doing well.
All right. So, in Isaiah, it's written in the Hebrew, and the word there, morning, or star of the morning, is Hillel, and it means light bearer, that kind of a thing. And so that's where we get the word Lucifer. And when we look in the New Testament, for example, we'll see in Revelation 22:16, Jesus is called the bright morning star. And you'd think that they wouldn't share the same kind of phraseology, but they do. And one in the Hebrew is very clear. It just means the light bearer. But here it actually says in, for example, Revelation 22:16, Lampros proinos, ha proinos. So Lampros, just simply, you know, it sounds like the word lamp. But what we see here, is that which is shining, that which is, you know, like a lamp, it's bright and radiant. And then the word for morning just means that, you know, it's early in morning. So he just called that as the out of the darkness, the sun would, the bright morning star that would rise. I'm going to have to do some research to see what the spiritual significance of what that might have been in ancient Jewish thought, because it might be interesting to find out. But anyway, they're similar, yeah, but not just the same. Okay?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Some people are trying to, like, say, like, Lucifer is, like, Jesus and stuff. Like, no. I don't believe that, though. Like, but it's just, like, they're comparing and doing all these comparisons, you know, and showing all these verses. And
well, think about it, too. You know, the serpent was lifted up on the stake that the people who looked on it in Moses' time were saved. The serpent.
Yeah, that's like on the ambulance and stuff, and in the hospitals, that's the symbol.
That's right. Well, Jesus was the one lifted up on the stake. Was he a serpent? No. Was he the devil?
No.
Obviously not. But the issue of because a serpent represented sin, be lifted up. Jesus became sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and was lifted up. So there's similarities, and but we got to be very careful how far we go with that. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Okay, Chase. God bless, buddy. All right. Now, I'm supposed to be in Denver. That's where he's from. The first week of December, participating in two debates. And I'll get more information on that a little bit later. But debating Reformed theology, whether it's biblical or not, and also open theism, whether it's biblical or not. We'll get into those things. Let's get to Alex. Alex, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. So I got a question.
Okay.
You know, if I want to know what the Jehovah's Witnesses teaches, it's really simple. All I got to do is go to jw.org and I go to their website. My question is more about Catholicism. And since Catholicism has been around for so long, you know, the Pope is the vicar of Christ.
And all that
earth,
stuff, yeah.
XYZ. Is there like a Catholic website? I know I could go to your site and get everything down, but is there
Vatican,
like a source? Like, look at this.
Vatican.va. Okay. You can also just look up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Just look it up on the web. You'll find online catechisms, and you can do searches in them, and you can learn exactly what it is they officially teach. So the Vatican.va. I go there every few years. I'll just do a lot of research on Catholicism for a while, and I'll spend weeks doing it. And I just go to the Catechism and the Vatican website. I'll read their encyclicals. I'll compare them to Scripture and do all kinds of stuff. You find all kinds of stuff. Man, is it a bad church? Yeah, it's bad.
I was wondering if you could help me out here real quick. See, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but to me, Catholicism now is kind of becoming a race. I don't mean that literally. I mean that
becoming a what?
So in other words, it's becoming like a race. I don't mean that literally.
I don't understand that word. I can't understand what you're saying. Could you spell that word for me?
Like a race? A race of people?
Oh, R-A-C-E. A race of people. A race. I couldn't understand what you meant.
Yeah.
So a race of people.
Yeah,
okay. Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
I don't mean that literally. Okay. I mean that metaphorically. You know, like my parents were Catholics and I was Catholic and I don't go to church, but I'm Catholic and I would never convert to Christianity. And if you say one thing about Catholicism, I'm going to fight you. Right.
They're idolaters. Right. Because they're loyal to a tradition and not Christ. Right.
Yes, exactly. Tradition instead of the truth with God. How would you go about that? Because, I mean,
how would I go about what?
It's easy to do that with Jehovah. Witnessing to somebody who believes in Catholicism.
Start this way.
Okay.
Ask them, do they want to go to heaven? And they'll say yes. Are you a sinner? Yes. Do you want all your sins forgiven? Yes. Does Jesus forgive sins? Yes. Then you ask him, do you know that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth? Matthew 28, 18. Yes. Okay. Do you know that Jesus forgives sins? Matthew 5:20, Luke 5:20, 7:48. Do you know that he forgives sins? Okay. You know, you can pray to Jesus, right? Yes. You ask him, if you pray to Jesus for the forgiveness of all of your sins, will Jesus forgive you of all of your sins? Now, if they say yes, then all you got to do is ask them to pray to Jesus. But they can't, because they're loyal to the Catholic Church. They're loyal to the bowing, the sitting, the standing, the kneeling. They're loyal to the pomp, the circumstances. They're loyal to the tradition. They're loyal to the stained glass windows, to the priestly office. They're loyal to all of that thing that works this religion about them that they are engrossed in. This one thing that I recommend Christians do with Catholics is a straight to the heart issue that circumvents all that. And I'll ask them, can you do this? Can you pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? You get different answers. Some say yes, and I ask them if they're going to do that. They say no. I've had them say, no, they're not going to do that. Why? Because Jesus set up the Catholic Church. That's why. And I'm going to stick with what Jesus did. Of course, they don't know what they're saying, but that's what they say. And right. One time I got a guy to actually, and it wasn't a mocking, but I said, can you actually pray? And he said he would pray to Jesus, and he couldn't. Even when he tried, he couldn't do it. He could not do it.
Wow.
He could not get the words out. And it was very obvious to everyone listening. He could not pray to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins. To me, that's a sign of not being regenerate. I'm not saying the guy was or wasn't, but that's a sign. So when I talk to Catholics about this, I'll say, if you can go to Christ and he can forgive you of all of your sins, then why do you need the priesthood? And it's a killer question. It's a killer question. And so what you're doing here is you're giving them the gospel. At the same time, you're showing that the Catholic Church isn't needed. This simply. And what you do is you get them to answer, yes, yes, yes. Are you a sinner? Yes. You want to go to heaven? Yes. Are your sins forgiven? Yes. You say, me too. And you say, and I've done this with Catholics. I've said, why should I give up what I have for what you have? Why should I give up coming straight to Jesus to go to your church where I have to kneel and bow and don't even know if I'm going to make salvation because I might sin, lust, or do something and lose my forgiveness? But right now I have everything I need in Jesus, and you want me to give that up to join your church organization? I say, please convince me. Why should I give up Jesus for what you have? You're not giving up Jesus. You're gaining the church. You know, they're just words.
Right.
I say, oh, then I can just pray to Jesus? Yeah. Well, you need the church. Wait a minute. Let's go back to this again. This is what happens. This is how it goes. So try that with them, all right? And that way, a seed of truth is in their hearts. And maybe, just maybe, in the quiet of their evenings when they're going to sleep, they might pray and ask Jesus to forgive them of all their sins. That's what we want. That's just one of the ways. There's lots of ways. But that's a good one. Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right, Alex. God bless, buddy.
You too, my brother. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Alex from Van Nuys. We've got nobody waiting right on the line right now. We're due for a break. Really quickly here, 1 minute till the break is coming up. So I'm going to do is when we come back from the break, I'm going to read more stuff from the official writings of the Roman Catholic Church. And folks, it gets worse. It just goes downhill. This stuff is bad. The Catholic Church is not a Christian church, folks. It is not. It claims to be, but it's not, because it violates the essentials of the Christian faith. Maybe one day I'll have to do a thing on what the essentials of the faith are according to Scripture, not according to me, according to what the Bible says. And I got the verses right there. Anyway, be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Veterans, this is retired Army Colonel Greg Gadsden. In life after the military, it's our duty as veterans to have each other's back. If you recently filed a VA disability or pension claim and have been asked to go to a VA claim exam, I want to make sure you know what to expect. Go to va.gov and search compensation and pension exam to get the information you need for the benefits you've earned. Your VA claim exam. Know what's next.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that when there's no hope, no recourse, no answer, when there's no help, seemingly no way, no solution, that there is hope in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus can make a way when there is no way? In John 11:27, Martha, out of the deep pain of thinking she'd lost her brother, affirmed her faith in Christ. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Martha acknowledged that apart from Jesus, she was totally helpless and totally hopeless. But with Jesus, all things were possible. Jesus shifted Martha's focus from her own suffering and grief and problems and helplessness to himself. Think about it. Where is your focus? Put your focus squarely on Jesus, on him alone. He is the God of the impossible. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
I started writing my letters so I can leave something for my children after I'm gone. I wrote letters for their 8th grade graduation, then their high school graduation. I wrote about all the qualities that I love about them, that I don't want them to forget.
No mom should have to write letters to her children because she has stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. Susan G. Komen. Get involved. Save lives. BeMoreThanPink.org.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
The following is a rebroadcast of a pre-recorded episode.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Hey, by the way, would you please consider supporting us? You can go to Patreon.com, Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon, and look up my name, Matt Slick, and if you could, sign up and help us out. You can read the stuff there. We do videos, and we're trying to find ways to raise support because, well, we desperately need it. All right, let me get right into the issue of Catholicism. Now, I know that I'm making a lot of people angry. I'm not trying to make people angry. This is too serious an issue to just leave by the wayside and say, can't we all get along? No, we can't. When a church teaches heresy, we need to expose it. So we know that the Bible says in Romans 3:28 that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. That means we're saved without anything we do, apart from the works of the law. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And question Catholics. We got a caller about Catholicism. I'm going to jump right in, get the caller, and then we'll get into the other stuff here. Jenny from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right by God's grace. What do you got?
Yes, I was listening, and can I ask you who was the biggest religious order that translated the Bible?
Are you a Catholic?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so what you're probably going to do is say that the Catholic Church is the one that has the authority to translate the Bible, and we need to trust what the Catholic Church says because it translated the Bible. Okay?
I'm saying that without Catholics, would we have a Bible?
Without God, we would not have a Bible. The Catholic Church did a great deal of good in preserving the documents. Not a problem at all. Okay? But it doesn't mean that the Roman Catholic Church is true. Now, do you, you're a Catholic, so let me ask you. Do you believe that you have to do good works in order to have your sins forgiven?
I have to repent.
Okay. Do you have to do good works in order to have your sins forgiven?
I have to live like Jesus.
Okay.
And Jesus, I have to be like Jesus.
Okay,
so
you have to be like Jesus.
To do good.
You have to do good in order to be saved, right?
No, I didn't say that.
I'm asking you a specific question.
I have to live my life like Jesus and repent when I sin.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have to do good works in order to be saved?
No, but I don't know how I can live like Jesus without doing good
works. That's a different topic. We're talking about one thing. And this is what Catholicism does, is it confuses justification and sanctification. It sees them as being very similar. Justification is a legal declaration of righteousness received by faith alone in Christ alone. But in Catholicism, the issue of our good works combined with the sacraments gets grace infused into us by which then we're saved. But see, the Bible says we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So that means we're declared righteous before God without anything that we do. It's by faith alone. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I believe John 3:16, but I also believe that we can't just say I'm saved and not live like Jesus.
I agree.
Like I don't like that term. Like I didn't hear it from you, but I hear it from a lot of Protestants. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved, which is fine. But does that mean I get to do all these heinous things?
No.
And then the typical I'm saved.
The typical failure in that side of the argument is that all they're hearing is that you can say you're saved, believe in Jesus, and go out and live like you're not a Christian. And the reason that those other people say that kind of a thing is because their salvation is dependent in part on their performance and their goodness. So they see that as being an inconsistency in the others. And what they're doing is using their own opinion about what salvation is and how it's obtained and projecting it onto others. But that's not our position. Our position is that justification is a legal act where God imputes or reckons to our account the righteousness that is of God. That's Philippians 3:9. So we have a righteousness that's not our own. Philippians 3:9 says so. And along with that is something called regeneration. We're made new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And because we're made new creatures, we're born again, we now have God living in us, and we do good things because we're born again. But the doing of the good things does not contribute to our salvation, and it does not keep our salvation. Okay?
Walk away from Jesus.
No, you can't. A true regenerate person cannot. A truly regenerate person cannot. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. And Jesus says in John 6, 38 through 40, he says, he's talking about the Father. He said, the Father, all that the Father has given me, I will never cast out. I will never lose. He's not going to lose any. If your salvation is dependent on your goodness, your works, that's why you say you can walk away. Because your salvation as a Catholic is dependent upon your ability. So the Catholic Catechism says this in paragraph 2068. So that all men may attain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. So do you have to observe the commandments in order to be forgiven of your sins? Jenny?
Well, I... if I follow Jesus, I follow his command, the Ten Commandments.
Yes, but let me tell you, Jenny, you and I both need to not lie and to be honest and to not bear false witness and not covet. And I'm sure you've done them. I've certainly done them. You and I are the same. Okay, we're just sinners. But in order to have our sins removed, it cannot be that anything that we offer would be good enough, because our righteous deeds are filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. So you and I are stuck. We have the same problem. We need our sins forgiven. How do we get them forgiven? We trust in what Christ did. That's why Paul the Apostle says we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And he says in Romans 4:5, but to the one who does not work, notice what he says, does not work, doesn't do anything, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. See, this is what the Bible's saying. But the Catechism, paragraph 2068, says you get salvation through faith, baptism, and observing the commandments. But Paul clearly teaches to the contrary. Can I ask
then
a question?
Why do we have the commandments?
Well, the commandments are the proper revelation.
If we already have the grace, why do we have the commandments?
The commandments are the proper revelation of the character of God. He says don't lie because he cannot lie, Titus 1:2. So we're obligated to do what's right before God, but we can't keep the commandments. Let me ask you, would you believe we're saved by grace through faith after all we can do? Saved by grace through faith.
No, we're saved
after.
By grace because of Jesus.
Oh, good. Good, because I just
That's
quoted
what Catholics
the book.
Believe. Have you been to a Catholic mass? I mean,
no.
I'm a cradle Catholic. I believe in Jesus. We do the Old Testament, we do the New Testament every mass.
Uh-huh. Mass is a problem. Do you pray to Jesus?
Oh, yes, every day.
Okay.
I read the Bible.
Good. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can you pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins?
Yes.
If you're to do
Jesus,
that...
forgive me for all my sins. I say
okay.
that.
Oh, good. Praise God. So if you do that, are all of your sins forgiven?
Yes. We are.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm
good.
Absolved.
Very good. Okay. So... Very good. You're the first one who's ever done that, seriously, that I've ever talked to as Catholics for years. Now, if that's the case, that you can go straight to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, do you need to go to the priest for forgiveness?
Well, we do it because we don't want to go to a lay person, and we can talk to Jesus any way we want. I mean, there are plenty of people that don't go to confession.
Okay, I ask a question, though. If you can pray and ask Jesus to forgive you, and you're forgiven, why do you have to go to a priest?
Because
why not just go to Jesus?
Because he's an intermediary. I mean, sometimes we
why?
Ask people to pray for us,
no,
like
but,
I ask for prayers from other people.
But, Jenny, Jesus is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. We go straight to him. You don't need a priest. So you just go straight to Jesus. So you don't need a priest, do you?
I need a priest for... I don't go to confession all the time, but that's what I'm told to do before I receive the Eucharist.
Okay,
is that I have
told
to be absolved of my sins.
Yeah, but you can just go to Jesus, and he'll forgive you. Why do you need the priest if you have Jesus? Why do you need all that authority and the Eucharist, which I can talk about quite a bit in the Eucharist and its problems? But why? You have Jesus. If you can go straight to Jesus and pray and ask him to forgive you, you don't need the priest. Why does the Catholic Church tell you to go to the priest then? And why doesn't it say just go straight to Jesus?
Because it's a community and that's what we do as a community.
I know it's what you do.
I
understand it's what you do. But we're talking about forgiveness of sins. Why doesn't the Catholic Church just say, you go to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and he will? Instead, it says, go to the priest, sit in a confessional, and he'll give you penance to do so you can get grace re-infused into your soul so you can become more righteous. Why do you need the priesthood if you can go straight to Jesus? Do you see the problem?
because he's our shepherd here on earth. We don't have Jesus as a physical person right here, right now. Jesus is our pastor. He guides us. He helps, just like a minister does. He tells the community what's right and how to. He leads. He's our.
Okay. He's not leading you to Christ.
Our
because
priest
Jesus
definitely is. He takes
no, he's
holy
not.
Orders. He doesn't get married.
Jenny, we're almost out of time. The thing is, Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. So if your pastor is true, he should be pointing you to go to Christ. Because that's what Jesus said to do.
He says, if you want to be absolved of your sin, say the Our Father. Three or four times.
So you say a sentence and you're absolved?
Because I'm repenting.
All right.
I'm sorry for my sins.
Okay. I'm trying to show you that you don't need your priesthood in the Catholic Church. All you need is Jesus. You just need him. Jenny,
but that would be saying I don't need a minister in a Christian church?
That's right.
So
you don't
need
a minister
in a Catholic church.
You don't need a minister or a priest in order to have your sins forgiven. Jesus is enough. You don't need... I'm a minister, an ordained minister, seminary graduate. You don't need me. You don't need your priest. You have Jesus. Just go to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you. Trust in him, not in your ability. I mean, I'm not knocking your ability. It's because, you know, be sincere and do good things. But those things don't save you. Jenny, I would love to talk to you. I'm not going to be on the air Monday. I got to go watch the eclipse. Call me Tuesday. Let's talk, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Folks, I got to go. Hope that was pray for Jenny. And like I said, I won't be in the studio live Monday. I'm going to go watch the eclipse, and I'm loving it here in Idaho. So I'll be back on the air on Tuesday. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.